Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sunny's Barbecue, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth, following the Jaguars' 38-31 victory over the Raiders yesterday. Senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, is here. Good evening, Vic.
Thank you, Cole.
And pleased to be joined as well by the number two man of the personnel department, Terry McDonough, the Jaguars. Let's see, make sure I get your title correct. The director of personnel?
Close, director of player personnel.
Player personnel.
Same thing.
Player. Always great to have Terry in. Well, let me get your thoughts on yesterday's game. The fans loving it, and certainly what it sets up is big, but your thoughts on yesterday's win.
Oh, it was a great game. It was a lot of fun, you know, back and forth. It was. We were just talking about all the home games this year since the Tennessee game. They've been thrilling. And the fans got their money worth, and it was a great win. It feels real good around here. And it's going to be an exciting week in Jacksonville, and a little bit of a big weekend coming up.
Yeah, I would say a little bit of a big weekend. Vic, you know, you and I kind of separately have been breaking down playoff scenarios and so forth, and you've gotten a lot of questions, as I have, about can the Jaguars get in if they lose to the Colts? And it's a yes, but...
Yeah, it's a yes, but the circumstances are such that, first of all, I'm not going to go there because it would create a long diatribe on what it would take, and you know, you'd turn me off within the first two, and if this and if that, all right? But let's just remember this. If we want to go there, if we want to find a way to get in the back door, and I don't know why we want to do that, but if we want to find a way to lose and get in, which I think is a really defeatist attitude, but if we want to find a way to do that, it absolutely means this. You got to win in Houston on the final day of the season. And the great thing about just win this Sunday is you can go to Houston, you know, locked, clinched.
Maybe only worrying about positioning or
seed,
right?
Last thing in the world I would want to do if I was Jack Del Rio or Terry McDonough or GM Gene or Wayne Weaver or any of these guys, the last thing in the world I would want to do is to have to go to Houston and win to get in, because they are the absolute worst possible matchup for you. Yeah, I know, you beat them once. Let's not forget what happened at the end of that game.
Now it was tied. Again, it was tied at that point.
Yeah, I understand.
And then you had the what did we decide we were going to call it? The Everbank rebound or the bank shot or the...
Immaculate deflection.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that they scored at will in the second half. I mean, that was a track meet. They were up and down the field. This is a team that this is a pass defense that let Jason Campbell have a perfect passer rating in the first half of yesterday's game. This is not a good pass defense. Pass defense is the weakness of this team. You want, and I think Houston's defense is on the improve. We'll see tonight. You don't want to have to put your fate in the hands of your pass defense on the final day of the season in Houston. So let's not do the backdoor thing. Let's just make it real easy. You go to Indianapolis, put all the marbles on the table, put all the cards on the table in Indianapolis, and if you win in Indianapolis, it's done.
And this is one of those weeks. Sometimes, Terry, I think you have a game where you sit there and you look back at the game yesterday and you dissect and you spend a lot of time from a fan standpoint, from a media standpoint. Already today in Jack Del Rio's press conference, I mean, everybody's looking forward to Indy now. I mean, the 24-hour rule didn't last today. It was more like the 6 or 7 hour rule, and by the time folks woke up, it's all eyes toward Indy.
Yeah, the good news is we didn't overlook Oakland. Oakland was playing good football coming in here, and they played well yesterday. The Raiders did. I mean, it was a good game. Could have gone either way, but no, this is a big one. This is the biggest football game. I mean, the playoff games aside, this is the biggest football game. I've been here 8 years. That it's a chance to win the division.
And, it could also be, by the way, Vic, this is something we may talk about as the week goes on or on Sunday. Could be a passing of the torch kind of game.
Oh, there's no question. If the Jaguars win, that's exactly what it is. The Colts have made the playoffs in each of the last eight seasons. So will it be nine, or is the run over? What I wanted to say is that everybody has got a weakness, with the exception of New England, and maybe Baltimore, although their quarterback has a tendency to come up small at the big times of the game. You look at Pittsburgh, and they've got a massive problem on their offensive line. You look at Kansas City, and their rankings aren't anything that's going to wow you. You look at San Diego, and even though the rankings are great, I mean, they have clearly been downright awful from time to time. They got swept by the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got an Achilles heel, and the Jaguars' Achilles heel.
The Jets, is anything on offense, is their Achilles heel.
The quarterback is just playing awful football right now, and they dropped balls on him last night, too. The Jaguars' Achilles heel is obviously their pass defense. I mean, if the Jaguars had a pass defense like the Raiders have, this team might go. Mm-hmm. It might go all the way, but they don't have that kind of a pass defense, and what that means is they're a lot like most teams other than New England. They've got a weakness. New England, I don't see. They got a defense on terrific. The rise. They got a quarterback who's playing the best football.
They don't run the ball much, but it doesn't seem like it matters.
If they run when they need to, they run it. I mean, Jarvis Green Ellis, when they need to pound the ball in short yardage or down on the goal line, I mean, he bowls people over. He knocks them down. They've got it all. Baltimore almost has it all, but they're starting to show some age spots on defense, and the quarterback isn't a crunch time guy.
Yeah, it has been a very intriguing year in the AFC, and for the I said this the other night at a Jaguars Booster Club event I attended, the Christmas party, by the way, it was lovely. This has been the most roller coaster season that I can remember covering. When you talk about higher highs and lower lows, right now, we know where we are on the roller coaster, Terry.
Yeah, when we looked at this thing, we talked about it before when Gene took over a year and 18 months ago, 2 years ago. We've had a couple drafts that we were rebuilding, and we're in the middle of that phase, and the guys have played like we thought they would play when we picked them and when we brought them in here. There's a lot of leadership here. Now there's a lot of good young players here. We've stayed relatively healthy this year, and we're starting to gel at the right time.
All right, here's how you can get involved with the program. You can go to the Jaguars Facebook page, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Submit your question there under the Jaguars Monday thread. Right now we've got a bunch of good questions that have been up there, and we'll ask those of Terry McDonough, and the best ones that go up there as well. We'll get to them as we go along. We do want to spend a little time talking about the Raiders game, but we will be looking forward quite a bit. Also, some strange things happening in the National Football League. The Metrodome situation. You've got the Jets-Dolphins thing on the sideline with just some odd things happening this week in the National Football League as we start to wind our way toward the end of the regular season and the postseason. A reminder as well, this Thursday from 3 to 4 p.m., Sargento is sending Santa DeVille and two of his helpers, better known as Jackson DeVille and the Roar, to the Winn-Dixie on Park Avenue in Orange Park. They'll be looking for shoppers with Sargento products in their shopping carts and giving them Sargento prizes, including tickets to the Jaguars-Redskins game. For details, go to the Roar's Facebook page or the Fan Zone on Jaguars.com. And a reminder to vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. More Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton, when we come back with Terry McDonough in with us today. Following the Jaguars' 38-31 victory over the Raiders. More after this right here on Jaguars Radio.
Third and two. David hands it off. Rashad Jennings trying to get to the outside. Burst of speed. Is he going to get the corner? He is. First down and more. Across the 30. The 35. There goes 40. He's midfield. He's going. He's at the 40. He's on the run to the 30. The 20. There he goes to the 10. 5. Touchdown. Rashad Jennings.
And no flags.
75 yards. How about that?
Big run for Rashad Jennings in the Jaguars' 38-31 victory. Jennings, 5 carries, 109 yards. He's the 6th player in the last 50 years to average 20 yards per carry. The last guy to do it? Anybody? Anybody? Maurice Jones-Drew was the last one to do it. Did it last year. And third time in team history that the Jaguars have had a pair of 100-yard rushers in the same game. Last time was 2008, and both times it happened previously, it was Fred Taylor and Maurice Drew turning the trick. You will well remember the game against the Colts, the 375-yard game. That was the first time that had happened. And Jennings with his touchdown run, 74 yards officially, tied for the fifth-longest touchdown run in Jaguars history and tied for the fourth-longest touchdown run in the NFL this year. And it came against, this is it was interesting, I found, came against a six-man-in-the-box defensive scheme, which typically means you've got five defensive backs, which means you have more speed out there on the field, and yet he has this long run.
The Raiders' problem isn't how many men are in the box or their schemes. The Raiders' problem on defense is they're loaded with rejects. Cameron Wimbley, Jarvis Moss, John Henderson, Quentin Groves. There was another guy. I mean, they are just up and down the board.
Yeah, that's been the Raiders' tradition for years, hasn't
whoa,
it?
Whoa, 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 wait. Back in the old days, that was grossly grossly misrepresented. Ted Hendricks had a great career in Baltimore before Oakland got him. Lyle Alzado had a great career in Denver before they got him.
Is the point, though, I'm making, is that they've always kind of been
But these guys were
troubled.
These guys,
the difference is now they're not getting the Wembley guys who were the
bust.
Future Hall of Famers.
Wembley was a bust in Cleveland. Yep. Groves was a bust in Jacksonville. Jarvis Moss was a bust in Denver. Mm-hmm. Whereas Alzado was not a bust. Hendricks was not a bust. Mike Haynes was not a bust with the Giants. These were good players.
Yeah. All right. By the way, I want to get a couple of notes in here. I want to remind everybody to visit Sports Mania for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. A limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes to the Jaguars-Redskins game. Learn how Vic Ketchman does it each and every week. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. And when the Jaguars win as they did yesterday, you know what that means, Vic. Free barbecue.
Yeah.
At Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub today or tomorrow at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants.
It was just too cold to go into those trash baskets.
So you're saying maybe there's a lot there for you?
I try to go in, I can't do this. The wind was blown.
You got to meet a season ticket holder or something who has an extra one. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Injury updates today. Courtney Green, of course, so we'll see. He did not play in yesterday's ball game, coming off that shoulder injury. Austin Lane did go back in the game after he was injured.
But he had pain.
And he had brought the pain and unfortunately brought it to himself. Justin Durant, with the ankle injury, did not go back in the ballgame. That was the one that Jack Del Rio said today he had the most concern about of the injuries from the game.
Yeah, that's, I think, is that the same ankle with Justin, Terry? I have a feeling that's the same ankle.
No, I think, I'm not 100%, I think it's the other ankle.
Oh, that's good.
But I think that was the one coming out of yesterday's game that they were a little concerned about.
All right, well, let's get some questions in here from Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Some of the listeners chiming in for Terry McDonough. Let's start, Jonathan asking about Jason Hill, says he's been a steal so far. Where'd you find him? And obviously yesterday made the had the touchdown catch that kind of got things ignited in the second half.
Well, Jason Hill was a draft pick of the 49ers, and we liked him a lot coming out of Washington State. As a matter of fact, it was the Mike Sims-Walker draft where there was five receivers taken right in a row. It was all of a sudden there was a huge run of receivers. What year was that? How many years ago was that?
What, 4 years ago now?
Yeah.
Mike was 07.
Five drafts?
He was either 07 or 06. I know that
pull up that draft, Cole.
I had a scout who shall go nameless tell me that you guys had like seven guys go off the board that you had before that pick that you used on Mike Sims-Walker. You had the seven guys you had rated above Mike Sims-Walker went off the board. Bing, bang, boom, just
2007 draft.
Yeah.
You go to the third round, and I think there's five receivers in a row that went.
Yes. Well, there was also a tight end there. Tight end in there, too.
Actually, it was when you throw the tight end, it gets even more. You've got Texans took Jacoby Jones. Then the Ravens took Yaman Figgers.
Right.
Atlanta took Laurent Robinson. The Niners took Jason Hill. Steelers took Matt Spaeth, who was the tight end.
Right, and that was the guy you were going to take because I was told that that was that wasn't the Heath Miller draft. No, Heath Miller was before that. But someone in the draft room said, Well, Spate will be there. The Steelers are next up, and they'll never take they don't need a tight end. Boom, there goes Spate.
And then the Packers took James Jones from San Jose State.
That was the guy the Jaguars really liked.
Same year of the draft of John Broussard from San Jose State
exactly.
In the seventh round. But then Mike Sims-Walker, then Paul Williams of the Titans took him from Fresno State. So you had seven out of eight picks there were wide receivers, and the other one in that mix was a tight end.
And what that shows you is there was about eight receivers left in everybody's board. They were the same eight.
Yeah.
And once they started going, everybody said, uh-oh, I better get my receiver now, or I'm not going to get one. Yeah. And that's what happened. They ran dry. Now, that being said, Mike Sims-Walker has played well for us. We knew him. He was at Central Florida. But Jason Hill was also a guy we really coveted in that round. He was in that clump, and he had gone out to San Francisco and he's from there, and he hasn't, for one reason or another, he hasn't played a lot of football. But when Gene picked him up off of waivers, we had very good grades on him coming out of college.
And I've heard from guys, he's making wow catches in practice all the time. He had the great catch that was not a catch last week. And then
I personally
yesterday.
Think that was a catch. I looked at it about 10 times on film. We could go back and forth on that. But I believe if he didn't try to get his third foot, his left foot down that hit the line, mm-hmm. if he just held it up with the one hand, he had 2 feet in.
And anyway, showing you that ability, though. I mean, that's the...
Yeah, no, he's been what we thought he was coming out of college. That's what he's been for us the last... Since he's been here. And it's been great. It's been exciting. He's done it not only in practice. A lot of times guys do it in practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get in the game, and it's like, oh, okay. Now, so far, he's done what we thought he'd do when he came out back in the draft.
What kind of receiver... you put him. He run past people, so you wouldn't say he was a possession guy, but he seems to have very good hands.
He ran 4.32. He was one of the fastest guys at the combine.
So that's no possession.
Year.
Yeah,
and he was a guy that was a speed receiver, and he had very good hands, which we've seen here. And one reason or another, he is not good on the field a lot. He did not at San Francisco, and I can't speak for them. But so far, since he's been here, yeah, we've been very happy with what he's done for
us.
All right,
dime a dozen. These are receivers, dime a dozen. Well, these guys are everywhere. I mean, to screw up wide receiver, that's an embarrassment. To do what they did here with Matt Jones and Reggie Williams, I mean, it's just an absolute embarrassment.
You got a guy who's 6'1", runs,
and you
4'3",
got him off waivers, and a team that's having a terrible year, cut him. I mean, you know, these guys are everywhere. The 6'1", 195-pound guys that can run, they're a dime a dozen.
Well, you know what? I agree with you in one regard, Vic, is in the draft, you can find them throughout the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That's one position you can get. But typically, three-quarters of the way through the season, you're not going to find big, fast guys that can catch the ball on the street. Teams usually hold on to those guys, so looks like we have a little something. Plus, he's a good kid, good person.
I would caution going overboard on
no,
this.
No, and we're not.
We're seeing one catch,
yeah.
All right?
Well, no, we're not going overboard, but what we've seen so far we like, and he's a good kid, and he does all the right things off the field.
Jill has a question here. Why was there no public mention of the beatings that Osgood took from the Raiders, and why weren't either one flagged? Jack Del Rio categorized it today in his press conference as something that would happen in an alley. With Osgood on special teams.
Well, he has a long history. He played those guys twice a year when he was with San Diego, so that ran deep. And he was outstanding on special teams yesterday. He's been all year. He's been between Montel, the two of them. It's just, you know, they go back and forth trying to make every tackle. They've both been exceptional. And, you know, I don't know which one's going to go to the Pro Bowl. I haven't followed that voting. Montel, if there's a better special teams player in the NFL than Montel Owens or Kasim Osgood, I want to see him. But, no, there was a couple plays out of bounds yesterday where – It looked like that, but it didn't prevent him from being outstanding. He was just making plays all over the place. That play he made when he knocked the ball down on the 5-yard line was a huge play. He just batted it with his left hand, and he's been exceptional for us all year on special teams.
And then forced the fumble that Montel recovered.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest plays of the game. Mm-hmm. I failed to mention that, but between the two, our entire special teams unit is tremendously athletic. And this is, since I've been here the last 8 years, this is the best special teams we've had. Most talented guys. We're very athletic on our special teams units.
Yeah, a lot of guys can really run. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline. You get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to jaguars.com. We'll give you an update on how the tickets situation looks when we come back. Plus, take more of your questions from Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. We've got Terry McDonough in with us here on Jaguars Monday, presented by Sutter on Jaguars Radio.
How about Maurice Jones' new touchdown run and a sixth consecutive 100-yard day? High formation, too tight. Here's the handoff. Maurice up the middle. There he goes. He's going! 10-5! Touchdown! Maurice Jones-Drew! Right up the middle!
The touchdown that turned out to be the game-winning touchdown and put Maurice over 100 yards for the sixth straight game. That's the second-longest streak in Jaguars history. And for the time being, it makes Maurice Jones-Drew the leading rusher in the National Football League with 1,278 yards. That's 48 yards more than Arian Foster, who plays tonight for the Houston Texans against Baltimore. And makes Mojo the all-time Jaguars leader for most yards rushing in the first 13 games of a season. So to this point of the year, nobody's ever rushed for more yards than 1,278 in Jaguars history than Maurice Jones-Drew has. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta only at your local Southern Ford dealers. Cole Pepper here, Vic Ketchman, senior editor of Jaguars.com, Terry McDonough, Jaguars director of player personnel. Vic, you have a look on your face like you're ready to spring, no?
Nope, just waiting for the next pearl to come from your lips.
All right, well, I don't know if pearl's going to come from my lips, but let's see if it comes from the fingers of the listeners who have chimed in on Facebook. Brandon asks, how are you going to improve the secondary? You know, Indy has a very strong pass offense with Peyton Manning on their team. They're going to throw the ball a lot, so how do you address that situation?
Well, I think you have to tackle better. That's the first thing you have to do right there. When they throw it and they catch it, you tackle them. And,
I don't like that at all.
All right, we're gonna have 8 or 9 interceptions and run them all back to touchdowns.
Wait, you're gonna let them catch it?
I'll tell you what. Here, I'll make a prediction. If we can hold the Indianapolis coach catchless in this game, we'll win.
Really going out on a big limb.
That's a prediction. You like that one, Joe? If they don't catch any balls, we'll win the game.
Terry, this is a guy that threw 11 interceptions in a 3-game stretch. You know, I'd like to hear something a little more confident, a little more aggressive, like we're going to sack him, we're going to intercept him.
I have a healthy respect. I'm sure everybody in our locker room has a healthy respect for Peyton Manning and what he does, but we do typically play them well there. We might not win all the time in Indianapolis, but, Joe, if you pulled up the games the last 5 or 6 or 7 years, they've been closely contested games.
It was only 2 points in the opener last year.
I remember one year we beat them there. It was a good game. Byron was the starting quarterback back then, and we had an interception that bounced off of Dallas Clark's back, and I forget how we
got Montel Owens caught a deflected ball to convert a fourth down.
You have to. Anybody to beat Indy in Indy, they have to make big plays. So I guess, tackle well and make big plays. We have to make big plays. You have to pick them off. You have to hit them. To beat Peyton Manning, you have to make him nervous in the pocket. You have to get pressure on him.
Is he more nervous this year based on the fact that he doesn't have the same old guys catching the football?
I'll tell you what. I'll let Vic handle that. Vic and I talked about Peyton Manning about 2 months ago, and he was right on it, so I'll let him take that.
He's playing like poop. I mean, there's no other way to say it. He's having the worst year of his career.
Well, there are a lot of ways to say it.
He threw 11 interceptions in 3 games. His offensive line is getting him hit a lot. He's throwing to some guy now called Brady
Tam, is that his name?
No. Who's the guy from Michigan State?
Brady White, right?
Brady White, yeah.
Or Blair White.
Blair White
Project.
Yeah. You know, there's a guy named Tammy.
He's from Kentucky, Jacob Tammy.
So we got a guy named Tammy and a guy named Blair. And, I mean, who are these people? And why aren't teams in press coverage on these guys and knock them around?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at Tom Brady and Peyton Manning over the last decade, it really doesn't matter who they throw to, right? I mean,
Jerry, they're not running the ball. They're not stopping the run. They're not stopping the pass. They're not protecting the quarterback. I don't want to do this. I don't want this whole week to be a Colts love fest. Oh, the respect. I know. It's time to draw the line in the sand. It's time to go up there and kick some natural butt. It's about time to go up there and kick down that friggin' front door.
Well, I'll tell you, I like that our locker room, and I told you this even during our losing streak early in the year. I said, I like this team. I said it on this show. I like this team, and I like this team, and I like the guys in the locker room, and I think they probably have the same attitude that you have right now. They're not going to hand it to us. They're going to go up there to try to win the game.
And Darren here posts on Facebook, what's the difference between the 09 Jags and this year's team? And maybe that's part of it, the makeup of
team. This is a completely different team. I mean, if you look at our team last year, we were playing with guys like John Henderson, Quentin Groves, and I love Jeremy Navarre and Chris Harrington. They were good guys, but that's who was starting for us late in the year. Yeah. All of a sudden, you have Tyson Alualu, who's playing lights out. You have Austin Lane, who the last few weeks since he's been a starter, he's been exceptional for us. So you get these young guys up front that are all over the quarterback. If you remember last year, we were winning games. Quarterbacks weren't getting touched. And now this team this year, our front four with Mincy and Knighton, who's find a defensive tackle in the NFL that's playing better than Terrence Knighton right now.
If this is going to be a let him make the catch and then tackle them, then just go hit him in the head and take the roughing the passer penalty. I mean, it's only half the distance to the goal.
He said let him make the catch. I didn't say that. I said tackle him. No, we have to shore up our tackling in the back end. I mean, McFadden, yes, you got to make the tackles.
That was a rather impressive performance by McFadden as well. And there's nobody in the Colts' backfield that's the kind of runner that Darren McFadden is.
No, but if you look at his three or four big plays yesterday, and you can't take them away, but we were stuffing him pretty good, and he got loose a few times, and that's why he was a top five pick in the draft.
I agree. Your defense was very effective. Your run defense was very effective, and then he gashed it a couple of times, and it made it look good. It made it look the defense look bad statistically, but it was not bad yesterday.
All right, we've got. I do want to touch on the. What's that? Oh, Joe has been researching, and at Terry's behest,
we've played in Indianapolis 9 times
in the last 9 years.
What's this we?
Okay, the Jaguars.
That's right.
We've won. I'll guess once, twice in 9 years.
We've won twice.
Okay, that's my guess.
We no we's.
Sorry.
Well, we're all Jaguars.
I'm a journalist. You're a journalist.
No, we're all Jaguars in this room.
I'm a guy pushing buttons. I can say we.
We're inside the walls. He's got his Jag. He's a Jag. Joe's a Jag.
I might be French. We.
This whole town.
First time was 2000. We lost by 29 points.
I wasn't here. That was then.
So we have that going for us.
We start in 2003.
Now, in 2002, lost by 7. 2003, lost by 10. That's it for double-digit losses. 2004, won by 3 points. 2005, lost by 7. 06, lost by 7. 07, lost by a point. 08, won by 2 points. 09, lost by 2 points.
There you go. This is the best team we've brought up there since I've been here.
7 of the 9 games
better than
we
the
07
played. Team.
I like this team the best since we've been here.
By the way, Vic gets this all the time and asks Vic about why don't the Jaguars get any respect nationally. You get the respect card played. We get it on post-game. I want to quote a little bit today from Peter King, who is one of the more respected national writers. He's on Football Night in America, writes for Sports Illustrated. He is a Monday morning quarterback. Just every week you got to read it. And he has one of his points here on Gene Smith. And saying, I remember talking to him and getting the sense that he truly didn't care what the public or media or his scouting peers thought. Either he was whistling past the graveyard and being a macho guy about it, or he was sticking to his principles of drafting good players with good character who could turn an inconsistent team into a solid, consistent playoff contender. What I appreciate about Smith is he's not one of those scouts who asks others what they think, then forms his opinion. He decides what he thinks, not recklessly, but with a strong base of fact behind it. Terry, here's...
he's my boss, so I could go on.
Yeah,
and if I want a raise, I'll just embellish on how great Gene Smith is. I would say that is 100% accurate. He believes in what he sees. He always says he's just gonna outwork everybody. He's gonna turn over every stone. He has all his personnel people do the same thing. And one thing he has focused on is since he took over, is he wants to get rid of all the bad apples, add good apples. And I know what you're thinking, Vic. I'm not saying choir boys, but he believes you can win with character and heart and also talent. Mm-hmm. And we have a good combination that he's assembled here with veteran leadership and young players. And one thing Gene doesn't care, I know from working side by side with him for the last 8 years, he really doesn't care what anyone else thinks.
And being mentioned as the one of the top candidates for the Executive of the Year with Scott Pioli from Kansas City, Thomas Dimitroff in Atlanta, a few others who were named there as well.
Want to know what else I know about Gene Smith? Yeah. And this is a true statement. He could care less whether he wins Executive of the Year. And I couldn't say that about many people, but he really could care less. I look at all the things about what they say. He wouldn't know what website to go to if it says anything about how great Gene Smith is. He's so focused on building a championship team here, he could give a rat's poop about what anyone thinks about him.
Yeah, Jaguars better start throwing some money at him. They're going to lose him.
Well, I have no comment on that one. But
you can count on that. I mean, when you start getting that kind of acclaim, I mean,
he won't let it go to his head because he won't read it.
Well, it has nothing to do about going to his head. When you start getting that kind of a claim, people start taking notice, and they start trying to find out what it's going to take to get that guy for their team. And when they find out that he can be had for this price or that price, you got competition.
Well, the thing he does is he treats his people that work with him. He's very demanding, but he's very fair. So we love working for him. We love what's going on here, and it's an exciting week.
Well, we're working on getting you both a raise here this week. All right, Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back to talk a little more with the Jaguars Director of Player Personnel, Terry McDonough, right here on Jaguars Monday, presented by Sudduth on Jaguars Radio.
Play action. David's got plenty of time looking down the field. He's going to launch this one for Jason Hill, and Hill's got it! Touchdown, Jacksonville! What a throw!
The Jason Hill touchdown from yesterday's Jaguars 38-31 victory over the Raiders. Jaguars 8-5, first place in the AFC South, with games remaining at Indy, home against Washington, and at Houston. Jaguars ranked second in the National Football League in rushing offense. And Maurice Jones-Drew leads the league in rushing, at least as of right now. Tonight, Arian Foster, who's second, will play with the Houston Texans against Baltimore. Reminder to check out Teal Town 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers. Admission is free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. Terry McDonough is in here. Gene working away, and always happy to see Terry stop by. And tomorrow night, of course, the Jack Del Rio show at 6. And Wednesday, Vic returns with Brian and Jeff on Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. All right, a couple of thoughts on some things going on around the league. What did you think when you saw the Metrodome roof cave in and the whole situation there? I don't know if the video is just striking video from about 5 o'clock in the morning.
I know what my first thought was. They just got a new stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first thought was, I thought about back to the Dallas practice bubbles. Thank God it was empty.
Yeah, that's right. I think there was one guy in a golf cart or a little gator or something over there. If you watch closely, zip, he goes in a hurry and he's beating it the other way. So that game's being played in Detroit tonight with the Vikings and Giants. That kicks off in about 25 minutes. Brett Favre has officially been ruled inactive for the game. Mm-hmm. That will end his streak of 297 consecutive games, 321 if you count the postseason. Terry, to you, what does that record mean, if anything, on Favre's longevity and durability?
Just that he's been very tough and very good for a long time.
It's a great record.
Three games left. He's trying to get to 300, isn't he?
Well, he's done now. I mean, he can now retire and to his happy marriage. And
he played so well last year, I think he probably thought he could come back and give it one more run, but it just didn't work out for those guys this year.
He thought he'd come back and get 12 more million.
I thought it was 19.
Was it 19?
It was 17 with the ability to maybe make 20.
Oh
yeah. I think at first it was 15. He said no, and then they sent the caravan down a couple more.
The Vikings are just, oh my goodness, what they have done.
The other strange story from the weekend was the Jets-Dolphins game. The strength and conditioning coach for the Jets, Sal Alassi, sticks his – first of all, this is on a return, and there are about six or seven guys all in Jets gear lined up right next, kind of a gauntlet, with their toes right on the edge of the white line.
Right.
Obviously not there for a parade.
No, he was just the strength guy had all of his strength and conditioning commandos lined up with him, and they're all there, and Cole's right on. They had their toes so that they were all right on or right off the white stripe that is behind the sideline stripe, so that and I'm sure they were only doing this for punt coverage,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that anybody who was going to wander into the Jets bench area was going to pay a price, which is really mean-spirited, very, very unsportsmanlike. This guy just happened to lean into it. But you can see there's like six or seven of them, and you can all see that they've got their knee, their toes, their feet, and their knees in the trip position.
And you've got Nolan Carroll, the Dolphins return man, or gunner on the play, who got the old knee-to-knee job, and was helped off the field. So far, no discipline from the league. I guess this has happened before. I think there was. I remember a story about George Halas years ago getting in the way of somebody on a return or something. But boy, it's not something you see very often.
Well, you don't catch it on TV. See, here's what happens nowadays when they put two vices out there. The vices are the guys on the return teams that block the gunner, which is the guy running down to make the tackle, into the bench area. And when you have the pro tape that we watch every weekend, you see it all the time. I think what's eventually going to happen, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a rule. And, you know, there's a coach. The strength coach for every team is the get-back coach. And he tells all the
And this is this
back,
guy, by the way, same
get
guy.
Get back.
Yeah.
I think you'll see, because there's so much stuff going on the sidelines, I think they'll probably maybe put another line in and make all players, all other than maybe move back a little bit further.
For a return?
Or for just another line just, of a couple feet back just to get everyone back. Yeah. There's too much stuff going on the sidelines.
Mr. Commissioner, fines are up. Concussions are up. Penalties are up. It's not working. Your system, your process for softening the game is clearly not working because the system of punishment is not decreasing the number of crimes or the number of casualties. All right? Concussions are up 21%. Penalties are at a staggeringly high amount. The penalties are now at the point that they are interfering with the game. They are interfering with the competition. And then you see this kind of crap. I mean, a gauntlet of guys lined up, hey, come on. You're supposed to be professionals. I don't want to see these guys fined. I don't want to see the strength guy fined. I want to see the Jets fined hard for this so that they make sure that they don't hire these kinds of people. How dare those guys jeopardize the career of a football player whose body is worth a lot of money and he has put a lot of work and training into that body, investment into that body? How dare they do that?
One of the most unsportsmanlike things I've seen
horrible,
in sports in a
horrible.
Long time.
And he originally looked like he was hurt. I mean, he went down.
Yeah.
He was hurt.
But then he got back up and he finished the game.
Funny bone kind of thing or something.
I think I read today somewhere where the coach admitted to it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
oh,
if that's
yeah.
accurate.
Yeah,
well,
Rex Sal Alossi
is
a strength guy. Yeah, he apologized. He admitted to it. Well, he was caught. I mean, he's got his knee stuck out. You can see. I mean, there was no way that he could avoid guilt on this. So he admitted to it, and he apologized, and that's nice. But come on. They're lined up. He's got his commandos lined up. One of them was going to get him. This was not only something that they did, this was premeditated.
Well, if the league finds that, I think there'll be some serious consequences.
I think the Jets are going to get a major fine on this one.
All right, Jaguars, and that'll have to be the end of it here as we're at the end. Terry, thanks for stopping by, and always great to have you in here on Jaguars Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week for the city of Jacksonville.
Should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be fantastic.
Maybe the biggest game, regular season game the Jaguars have played in a decade as they take on the Colts on Sunday. 1 o'clock kickoff, 10 o'clock for the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. For Terry McDonough, for Vic Ketchman, for executive producer and research maven Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday presented by Suddeth, and good night from Jaguar Central.